Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Control the perceived threat of their growing population. They command that all the boy children that are born are to be murdered, be cast into the river. And you see that in 22, verse 1. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born to you shall be cast in the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And then we have this story, chapter 2, verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child inside of it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And we're going to stop there for just a moment. We keep a little of the drama later, although you all know the rest of the story, I'm sure. So we find out in chapter 6 of Exodus, in one of the genealogies, that their name is Amram, that's Moses' father, and Jochebed is Moses' mother. And she is faced with this terrible thing. Who would want to be here? What mother would want to face this? The law dictated, the power of the enslaving nation that had them in bondage commanded that this child was marked for death. But she says they hid him. It says that they hid him for 3 months. 3 months he's the undercover baby. How would you like that job? Keeping him behind closed doors and the shades pulled and the baby quiet, or trying to make enough noise to cover up the noises the baby is making. It would have been a very difficult task. But here's where we want to begin. And this is the first of three very simple things I want to share with you this morning. First of all, here's what we need to do. To keep this connection to our God and this connection to His purposes and His work through faith, do make sure you keep the faith connection to the past. Not only was there a mother's heart involved, there was this reality that permeated through all of the Jews, even in their enslavement, that God was up to something far bigger than just their lifetimes. And you understand, Jochebed and Amram had been in slavery since their birth. And this was 400 plus years. So their parents, their grandparents, their great-grandparents, as far back as you could go, everybody they had known had been in slavery their entire lives. But God had made a promise that someday they were going to have to be in this land of promise, because God had made a promise to their forefather Abraham and to the two generations after him, Isaac and Jacob, that there was this wonderful land called Canaan. And that's where, by the way, where Jacob was. And the only reason he had to flee was because of the famine that you read about in the last chapters of Genesis. So that there was this connection to the past, this belief that God was there, that God was somehow going to make a way, that God was going to preserve this child. She did not give up. Now, her actions seem a little bit strange, and I don't know as I can explain them, although I do know this. She acted on her faith in a God that was connected to her through her past. This is the first thing you need to understand about this connection. You need to know where you've come from. Know where you've come from. Now, we're not Jewish, predominantly. We are not people that are living under enslavement. We're not living in a foreign land. We don't have the same promises that Israel had. However, you and I have a past. Usually when we say that, we go, oh, no, I mean a past of God's grace, a past of His creating us, a past of His promising us. And if you're one of His children this morning, you are just experiencing today and to this point in your life just a small, minute fraction of all that God intends for you. We're talking about it in our study in 1 Thessalonians. We'll get back to that, Lord willing, next week. But this thing of sanctification we've been talking about, that He is changing us little by little, and sometimes it seems like the change is by inches, not by yards or feet or miles, but He's changing us more and more to be more Christ-like, to be more and more mature, more and more grown up. And then you understand that this life is but a minuscule fraction of our existence. For the Bible tells us that for all who believe in him, he will give them eternal life. So our promises are fixed on our creation by God and our salvation through Christ. If that is you, and if that is not you, let me just take a moment and give you a gentle invitation. Not trying to coerce you, not trying to manipulate you in any way. But if you have never come to the place that you put your faith in Christ, that you have the issue of where you're going to spend eternity once this life ends, and where you're going, who you're going to trust in for the days of this life that you're now living, when God designed it to be this wonderful reality that we are living with him and in his power, then I encourage you to come and put your faith in him. If we could help you make that understandable, help you make that step, answer your questions, you can see one of us after the service or anytime. We'll make that opportunity available. Maybe you come with a Christian friend or family member that you just say, I'd really like to talk about what that means to be a follower of Christ and to be saved. They would be happy to have that conversation with you. But secondly, know what he has done for you. Know what he has done for you. This connection to the past is that where you've come from, out of our sin and out of bondage and into this reality of who we are in Christ that he has promised you. For instance, we can start with a very simple one. It's actually found a couple chapters later than what we just read in Hebrews over in chapter 13. It says, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. One of the scary things we face in life is disconnectedness. To feel like we're alone. We're not attached to anyone else. We don't have a good relationship. And we feel all alone and cut off. And God didn't make us to be that way, but sometimes we feel that way. But in our walk with the Lord, this connectionness is based on the fact that he is always there with us. So simply I say this to you. This was her status in chapter 2, verse 1. It's simply this. Do keep your connection to the past, remembering where you've come from. Creation. Remember what he's done for you, salvation, deliverance, if you need that. Now, let's get to the real part of the story that I want to look at. It says, when she could no longer, verse 3, hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him. So that's basically, think wicker basket, all right? She took some bulrushes, she weaves this thing together. Obviously, it is not watertight. Don't try to float a basket, okay? So she covers it. It says pitch and asphalt. So this sort of this material is going to get hard and solid and be watertight. And she makes this basket, and the whole plan is to do this, and put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. I got to tell you, every time I read this story, I'm thinking, what was she thinking? I mean, granted, I know the story ends well. It's faith. God's all over it. But just from a human standpoint, I don't think I would ever come up with that plan. I think maybe under cover of darkness, we try to flee slavery or we try to do something else. Or we say he's a premature. He's really 7 years old. He's not a newborn or something. I don't know. Something crazy like that. But instead, she makes a basket, puts him in it, and puts it in the river. That leads us to this reality that she believed that there was a future for her son. She didn't give up. She believed that there was a future for her son. Now, we read about this over in Hebrews chapter 11, because that whole passage I read is much more about Moses than it is about Jochebed and Amram's decision-making here. But this man, this baby that she is protecting, becomes the man that leads Israel to that land of promise, that connects to that promise of the past. So we need to connect to the future. I don't think she understood probably all that God was going to do through this child, although she may have had some suspicions that God was up to something really good. And she did not live probably to see it, because it's not till Moses is 80 years old that he gets around to actually start delivering the people of Israel. But here's the reality. There's a connection to what God is going to do. What God is going to do. We don't know what God is going to do with the next generation that you are raising. What may God do? Maybe it's that generation, the generation, 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 generation. Only God can see that. But she connected this through eyes of faith that God would continue. This is what you need to know. Know that God will continue his work, whatever that is. God will continue his work. And for you moms, God bless you for what you do. Sometimes you think it's just another day, another dollar, another diaper. You know, it's just like, it just it never stops. That you're an Uber driver for your kids without the app, okay? You're always taking them somewhere. You're always doing something. The house always needs cleans. The laundry never, the pile of laundry never recedes, no matter how much you attack it with your efforts. It seems laborious, and it is, and we salute you for your efforts, but here's the reality. God is going to continue that work from the past into the future as you invest in the life of those little ones. We're all familiar with Mount Rushmore, right? The big faces on the mountain. It was carved there under the direction of a sculptor by the name of Gutzon Borglum. He did a number of other sculptures. There's one that he did, it's just of the head of Lincoln, which has been since 1908, I believe, in the Capitol in Washington, D.C. He carved this head of Lincoln out of this one block of marble. But he had it in his shop, and a little boy came, the story is told, one day, actually it was a little girl, came and saw him chiseling this away. And she's starting to see the face come out and all that. And she says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm carving a face. Can you tell who it is?" She says, "Is it Abraham Lincoln?" He said, "That's exactly right." And the little girl's kind of puzzled, and finally she says, "How did you know he was in there?" Just a child. God is using you to chisel some things away and shape and form. And you know what? It's only someone who has eyes of faith that can see what maybe is in that life that you're investing in. It is being chiseled away for God's glory. Secondly, I would just say this. Know that you are part of this work. Just the care, the protection, the values, the influence. I loved having our children up here singing that song, and I've been hearing them say their verse for this month, and I flipped through their little take-home book. You parents use that to keep that instruction going between our church times. There's some fun activities and some things to rehearse their memory in that. So, but we are investing because you are a part of His work. We live in a world and a society that assigns value to certain things we do. Unfortunately, being a mom, being a parent in our society does not get assigned the value that it should get. That's why I'm glad we have a Mother's Day. That's why I'm glad it's on a Sunday. That's why I'm glad the whole concept started in a church. And that's why we as a church want to take a moment and say, what you do matters because you're part of God's work. So keep that connection. So here, this is a recap. If we're going to keep this connection of faith that God is at work and His purposes are in place, know where you've come from, know what He's done for us, keep that connection in place. And keep that connection to the future. Don't forget, there's someone in there that God is going to use for His glory. And it's our opportunity, it's our privilege, it's our joy to invest in their lives. Now let's bring it back to the present. Let's bring it back to her present, all right? Don't break the faith connection in the present. Let's see what happens. So she puts this child and laid it in the reeds by the riverbank. Now, I've tried to speculate, and all my speculation, all my reading, I still don't have anything that seems to make sense what was in her mind. Maybe there's a few things that may get us close. Maybe if he is not in a house, no one's going to look for him, so we can kind of put him out in the wilderness, you know, out along the riverbank somewhere. You know, maybe the frogs are croaking loud enough they're going to cover up the baby's cry. I don't know. Or maybe she thinks, where's the least likely place someone's going to find a baby? Maybe that's what she's thinking. But do you ever think about this? I don't know if this is in her mind, but here's... God does have a sense of humor, and there's irony in what He does oftentimes. The command that you see back in 22:1 is, all of the boy babies, every son who is born to you, should be cast into the river. She, in essence, casts him into the river. In some ways, she did exactly what the king wanted, except that she gave Moses a little advantage of a floating basket to put him in to save his life. Whether she intended or not, I think that was sort of a jab at Pharaoh. You try to defeat God's work, let's see what you do with a child in the river. And this is going to be the one that's going to come up and is going to destroy your country and set these people who are my people free someday, all those years future. So what do we need to do about keeping this faith connection in the present? It's real simple. I can't give you anything that's very complicated. But number one, remain obedient. She knew that God said, thou shalt not kill. I wish more people in our world understood that very basic reality. But thou shalt not kill. And she knew that that was a far greater thing than obeying some king who was ordering her to do something that was inherently evil and inherently wrong. So she obeys God rather than man. As we walk in lives of obedience, honoring our vows before God, honoring His word daily, and you've honored Him by coming on this Lord's Day Sunday. Because God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You've assembled together. Now some are with us virtually today, but that's fine. But we come to this place where we are doing what God wants us to be doing now. And sometimes that obedience is just all of that work that you as a mom do, or you as a dad do, or you as a caregiver do. And I know we live in a world where many times it's the grandparents who are forced into that role, and because of circumstances, they're caring for the little ones. And we as a church try to care for each other's little ones, as we even are doing right now in real time in another part of our building. So we're all involved in this, but just do what God calls us to do. A couple years ago on Mother's Day, I shared the passage where Paul writes in the epistles where he says this, that we are to bring up, especially fathers, train up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Admonition is what to do. Nurture is the life of how to do it. Like training a living plant to, you know, go a different way. To train, to nurture, to pass on life, to pass on information. And yes, the church is part of that. And some of you, however you're educating your children for their school age, I trust you're involved in that process. But you and I are responsible to teach our children God's truth. We are to bring them up in that nurture. Secondly, we need to remain courageous. It took a great deal of courage for her to do what she does. And she says in verse 4, and his sister stood afar off to know what would be done with him. Now, she wouldn't raise suspicion, just a kid along the riverbank, so she's watching what would happen. But it took a little bit of courage. Can you imagine what would have been in her mind? To put this baby in this basket, I assume it had probably had a lid on it, that'd be my guess. I think it was probably covered, maybe it was covered with a cloth or something, but it was covered, and to push him into that place and to walk away from that child. Courage, yes. Fear, you bet. Wondering what's next, but she took that step of obedience, believing that God was going to take the next step that she couldn't do. That's called faith. And God calls us to live lives of faith. And we live in a scary world. Frankly, at my age, I look at children that are school age today, and I think, what a world they're growing up in. It's vastly different than it is my generation. For those of you that are having children of that age, it's even different than your generation that you grew up in not so long ago. Have the courage to stand for the truth, to tell your children this is what is right and what is wrong. This is what we believe, the authority of Scripture. And yes, someone along the line is going to tell you that is ridiculous, that's not true, to cast and disparage the Word of God, but to train them to have the courage to believe that God is God and He has revealed Himself in the Word and Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. Have the courage to stand by your convictions and have the courage to live by them. And lastly, just remain creative in the application of the two things above. I don't understand it, but I find it very creative. Let's make a basket. Let's make it waterproof. Let's put him in the water. Let's see what happens. You stay here and watch. She didn't have much. She didn't have weapons to defend her son. She didn't have some mechanism or some organization to protect her. All she had was what she had. She had some stick and some pitch. Some sticks and some pitch. And she used what she had creatively for his glory. Sometimes we feel like, I don't have too much to offer. I don't have all the answers. The great news is you don't need all the answers. Just use what you have and dedicate him to the Lord's glory. And verse, you know the rest of the story. Verse 5, then the daughter of Pharaoh came down, this is verse 5, to bathe in the river, at the river, and the maidens walked along the river. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, pulling back the cloth or the top, whatever it was, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. Even as I read that, it kind of grabs your heart, doesn't it? Even without having the audio of this little baby crying, you just want to lean in and do something. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, you wonder why Pharaoh didn't ask, where did you come from? You know, just like pop up, here I am. Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? And the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. Not only is her son saved, not only is his life preserved going forward because of the intervention of this Egyptian princess, but she gets her child back by the end of the day, and she's being paid a livable wage to do what a mother would be doing for free. Now, rest of the story. After the child is weaned, he does go and live in Pharaoh's household and in the palace and all that, but that was still part of God's preparation for what he was ultimately doing. If I could just say one thing to you, it's simply this. Moms and everybody else listening in, it's simply this. Keep your connection to faith. God's been at work in the past. God will continue to work in the future. So let's decide through obedience, courage, creativity, and all that we are, to just remain faithful and connected to that faith today, knowing that God is using you and you're part of His work and he indeed is going to continue his word from going forward.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.